Blog Talk Radio.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
You can't escape me. It's the one, the only, who the fuck else? B-Train. Now, normally, folks, I would go off tangent and say, well, this is what's happening, this is what's going on. But I think, ladies and gents of the jury, we, the audience, or me. I know I'm short. That's not very funny. All right, folks. Time for a SmackDown Live review. All right. Okay. Giggity. What? Who is controlling the index cards tonight? Come on. Just play my music, monkeys. Alright, folks. Now, lately, there's been some heat and criticism and all this shit. What all boils down to, wrestling is wrestling, man. I love watching it. And I love being able to say what I liked and what I didn't like. Now, the reason why I'm stating this is because, well, I happen to see Shane Hurricane Helms tweet about fans bashing it, or if those who have formerly been in the business start bashing it, taking hint that wrestling can be enjoyable. And SmackDown Live sure as hell looked enjoyable from the get-go. Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles. Hopefully the result will be something different at Money in the Bank in Chicago at the Allstate Arena. But that's not what I'm going to discuss with you right out the gate. I want to discuss what's on the subject line, folks, and that is Daniel Bryan versus Jeff Hardy. Thank you, SmackDown, is the title of the show for tonight. I'm sorry I didn't do my normal time in the afternoon because, well, folks, there just seems to be a never-ending demand, not really. There just seems to be a never-ending possibility that good old B-Train could be speaking the truth. And while I'm putting something in the microwave, I want to discuss with you the wonderfulness that is SmackDown Live. Now, Monday Night Raw didn't do such a bad job. I just want to point out that Daniel Bryan and Jeff Hardy, they had a really good match, much like Asuka and Charlotte. And I know some of you really were up in arms about what I said, that, oh, you know, all streaks have to end sometime. Look, Undertaker's ended after 21 wins and zero losses. Now, you tell me, as an audience, what good will it do you if you don't go to a wrestling match and just sit, watch, enjoy, repeat. Now, you can be upset. I'm not saying you can't be upset. What I'm saying is, folks, the match between Daniel Bryan and Jeff Hardy, some people say, well, they finally let him loose. They finally let him loose. Let who loose? Where? Their dog? No. Who's they? Daniel Bryan and Jeff Hardy put on a clinic. They gave the fans a show. And when they, we the people enjoy a show, God forbid, you know, there's one idiot that's going to fucking ruin it and say, well, I didn't like this aspect of the match, or I'm... You can say you don't like something. I'm not saying you cannot like something in the match, but Daniel Bryan was hitting forearms specifically. Specifically, what did I like? Well, the Ness. I like the fact that Jeff Hardy and Daniel Bryan fed off of one another in a positive direction in the match. I like the fact that SmackDown Live showcased their talent, and not that Raw doesn't do so, but I felt more compelled to watch SmackDown Live because I've always felt compelled. The power of Christ compels you. God, I'm going off the rails. No pun intended. Daniel Bryan, you know, he spent almost, like, what, almost 4 years on the shelf. And when he came back, it was kind of an emotional marquee for a very, very young, very vibrant, looked like young Daniel Bryan, you know what I'm saying? I felt like it was a refresher. Not a refresher. I felt like it was refreshing to see Daniel Bryan moving the way he did in the ring, and the winner was going to face Samoa Joe. Now, there were other matches on SmackDown Live, like Billie Kay versus Lana. Lana hit her kick and then did her move. I don't know what you call it, but looks like the X Factor in the middle of the ring against Billie Kay, 1-2-3, Aiden English with the distraction and the sign. And you know what? As far as I'm concerned, SmackDown Live, hands down, one of the shining spots, one of the shining shows for WWE. Like I said, Raw wasn't bad. It actually captivated an audience. It got all of us interested. You know what? Daniel Bryan, thank you for returning to wrestling and giving the fans something to look forward to. You know, NXT tonight, I'm going to have to rewatch that tomorrow in the morning, folks. I apologize. I normally keep on tabs with things. I would much rather watch it than, you know, look at results on a screen. And it'd do me some good to actually physically watch the matches all the way through and decipher which ones I liked, which ones I didn't like, which ones I felt indifferent about. So as I move around the kitchen and contemplate on the Daniel, or think about how wonderful, how beautiful the match between Jeff Hardy and Daniel Bryan was, I'm just thinking about, folks, one individual that has wrestled against Daniel Bryan. They know each other's tendencies. They know each other's common, you know, move sets. Not just move sets, but they know each other. So it's exciting, the fact that Daniel Bryan and Jeff Hardy, you got to give credit where credit's due, folks, they gave the fans a show. Now, some of you may say, well, that's a rarity nowadays for WWE. Guys, wrestling, what Shane's tweet made me think of, and it correlates with this, is if you're not a part of the business anymore and you're bashing on it, I'm guilty of this, is try to enjoy the show. Even if you didn't like something, say, you know, specifically, okay, what did you not like? I don't care if someone turns heel or babe, because I'm just looking for fucking quality. Quality meaning, did the show exceed expectations? Nah, I ain't looking for that either. I'm looking for more or less, was the show awesome? Did it make you get out of your seat and want to come back for more? Did you have a kid that wanted to come back and see the awesomeness of SmackDown Live or of WWE Raw or of NXT. Now, thank you, SmackDown Live, for giving promising hope for your portion on Money in the Bank. And then, granted, this is not dueling brands. Technically it is. But every man and woman is fighting for their qualification to get the briefcase in said ladder matches. Now, even though the pay-per-views are going to be longer length, I think that's actually, I don't know, it's a mad science experiment we call pro wrestling, which is what people are kind of, I don't know if I want to see the Daniel Bryan match, man. Well, then, you idiot, here's what I'm going to tell you. Watch it. Watch it on, yes, I say rewatch it on Hulu, because I did. And I thought it was amazing. I thought that, you know, after watching what I watched, I was satisfied. Like I said, Uncle Bob probably thinks I'm a nutcase, but Brutal Bob Evans was right. If you keep being negative and pointing the finger, how are you ever going to enjoy a wrestling match, and how are you ever going to fucking enjoy life in general? Oh, well, Sally did this, and John did this, and I'm not, you know, ever going to move forward in my life, blah, blah, blah. How does this have anything to do with Daniel Bryan versus Jeff Hardy? If you're one of those, I think they are just showcasing it because they couldn't showcase anything else. Dudes, gals, dudettes, whomever is listening to this fucking podcast this late hour, I, Brian Rails, have something to tell you all. And that is, no, I'm not drunk. Thank you, Teddy, who has the fucking cue cards. I'm just, you know, putting stuff in the microwave so that way I can fucking eat and, you know, be able to relate. Okay, because I'm fucking hungry, and here's the deal, guys. When I watched Daniel Bryan, and I watched Jeff Hardy over the years, has anything changed or evolved in their style of wrestling? The answer is yes, yes, yes. A resounding yes, because if you look at the contrast in styles, yes, Daniel Bryan did defeat Jeff Hardy, but they gave us fans a story, much like Shinsuke Nakamura, whether you love it or hate it. Let me explain this to you all. Uncle Bob, thank you so much for giving me a new perception on pro wrestling. You really have. I used to get so angry as to why, you know, why do they do things that way? Why do you quit questioning? And just fucking watch. You can't be the guy, oh, not my, fuck that guy, blah, blah, blah. The way that this match was booked, I felt like I was watching a preview of WrestleMania. Maybe we as fans can be witness to something great. And we were. We were witnesses to something that was so good, felt like the song, I Like It, I Love It, I Want Some More of It. For those of you 90s kids who remember who that was by, I'll give you a hint. He was on Hannah Montana. Point is, I appreciate Billy Kay and I appreciate Peyton Royce. I like the fact that they're doing something with Carmella. You know, she's the person that people least expected to be a champion in WWE. They didn't give her a fucking chance. And look what happened. This is not smokes and mirrors, B-Train. This is not me trying to appease anybody. No, this is just me being honest. I feel like when you take a good look at the match that you saw on SmackDown, or the match is, granted, the Billie Kay and Lana match wasn't extremely long. It was long enough and it was tolerable enough. It was a wrestling match. Granted, it wasn't that long, but really, I mean, let's be honest, shall we? Which wrestling match do you know of that's going to be really lengthy, but the fans would, you know, believe that Lana, of all characters, would last long by herself? I mean, she had to have help from Aiden. So I don't know, you know, like I said, I don't know what the plans are for Aiden English. I honestly don't. But I'm really happy that something different happened on a show, okay? Some people will always have the misconception that, you know, creative is to blame, you know, for this mishap or that mishap. Let me explain something to you. Okay, so what would you do if you were in their position? Let me explain it to you like that. How would you, the writer, have booked Daniel Bryan and Jeff Hardy? I'd love to know this because this is Off the Rails and Censored, folks. A platform where anything can be said except for, okay, let me rephrase that. Anything wrestling related, not about gun control, because I already had one jackass call my show about that. Well, I popped something in the microwave, folks. I apologize for the sound effects in the background in advance. Oh, but wait, see, I'm just going to wait till it beeps really fucking loud. That way I can actually get it. 36 minutes left. All right, I have more time than I thought. Okay, folks. So overall, the overall assessment of the match between Daniel Bryan and Jeff Hardy, the overall assessment of, you know, Shinsuke hitting AJ in midair with a chair, how is that going to affect Money in the Bank? Where does this all build up to? Can already tell you now, you're not going to ever forget how well SmackDown Live came together, how well Monday Night Raw formed the ideology that maybe Braun Strowman is the most dominant dude in the fight for the briefcase. He's one of the eight men atop, you know, the names like Bobby Roode, Finn Balor. So is it bad that all of this controversy is going on Monday Night Raw over the fact that, you know, oh, I don't like the way they did Finn Balor, blah, blah, blah. You're not going to believe this, folks, but, I mean, maybe they have bigger plans for him. Maybe something's in the works. You never know. I could be wrong about everything, but at least I have my convictions that I stand by when I say you can't totally be angry and upset, some of you, about how SmackDown Live is handling shit. Sorry, folks, my dinner's done. Anyways, you can't be upset in some regards. Now, I didn't say you should feel this way, you should feel that way. I think that's what I'm going to discuss a little bit about how we as fans can handle emotions better. Because, you know, if we're not the ones performing, then in turn, that begs the question, what gives us the right, this, that, the other, to complain about a match or two? Now, what did I least like about SmackDown Live? Like I said, the match between Billie Kay and Lana was not my favorite, but I understand, you know, it's going to draw attention that Lana's in the match now, and Naomi is also a part of a qualifying match, and she of course was victorious over Sonya Deville. And in doing so, here's what that does. Adds flavor to the women's match now, because there was a first ever women's in the Money Bank ladder match, and so Bayley's not there. Alexa Bliss is. Now you've got Alexa Bliss, Naomi. Well, you got some familiar faces in the women's. Apparently everything is going nuts in my house. Goodness grief. Don't you think it bad when your machine turns on and you don't even mean to say it? I should have known I was in the wrong room. Of course I'm in the kitchen. But anyways, folks, there's a women's match that has some familiar faces involved. There's a men's match that has some familiar faces involved. The fact that Braun Strowman, Bobby Roode, calling Finn Balor, Bobby Lashley. I don't know who's going to win the Money in the Bank ladder matches. I do not. But I do know one thing. Asuka versus Carmella. Interesting. Nia Jax versus Ronda Rousey, which is going to get heavy media attention for a lot of reasons. Name anybody that can beat Ronda Rousey's undefeated streak and live the tale to tell. To tell the tale. Okay, folks, so there is no doubt that I said thank you, SmackDown. I said thank you, SmackDown Live, because it was a good show. And why not say thank you to a show that I can actually look over on a screen and watch again. I'll watch it again. Monday Night Raw, I'll watch it, you know, probably one more time just to see it from a different perspective. You know, just to be fair, because sometimes you really don't know a show until you actually give it a chance. God, did I just say that? Well, if I don't like a show, I really, you know, like I said, I'm more pertained to SmackDown Live because I feel like there's more depth to it, you know, even though it's noted as the B show for WWE, which I find funny because I don't think any show should be labeled. I think it should just be watched. I think that if you really truly believe that, you know, a show should be labeled, then you're missing the boat. All right, folks, real quick. Not going to really touch base. But the advertisements. Monster Factory is holding Super Camp July 20th and 21st. If you attended the first previous camp in April, on April 20th and 21st of 2018, you will be getting in for free. For more information, visit monsterfactory.org. All right, folks, that does it for the advertisements because enter my mind. Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Lawrence? Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cost of something folks, this is the Off the Rails Uncensored portion, brought to you by Crazy Incorporated. Now, as scatterbrained as I am, it's because I haven't had anything to digest, but I fair warn you, some of the things I'm going to talk to you about is the real, like when people tell each other how to feel. That's a no-no. Don't feel that emotion. Don't elicit that emotion. Don't even think about being angry, you son of a bitch. Now, granted, it depends on how you, the person, the individual, looks at the shit. What am I referring to, folks? I'm going to talk to you all about this. If fans aren't supposed to bitch and gripe and moan and complain, then how do you know what to fix? Don't fix everything to cater to their every whim. Okay, so how are fans supposed to approach a show? I think this is the underlying problem between wrestler and fan. One of many. The fan believes they know what is right for the show. Because they say, well, we pay your salary. There's their first mistake. You don't pay the wrestler's salary. Well, you don't. Merchandise is one thing, but like Scott Hall said, that money necessarily doesn't go into their pocket. That goes into the company so they can keep producing and producing and producing shirts. Another thing, if you go to a show and you don't like it, here's what people used to do. They used to blog about it, and then that evolved into blog talk. And let me tell you folks this, something. As an audience, we can bitch, moan, gripe, beseech, plead, beg, tell the promoter how much we hated his fucking show and how we're never going to come back, this, that, the other. I hate to break it to you, but you guys, all of it, including me, keep coming back because it's like a trap, man. It's called wrestling. It's addictive. Live atmosphere, seeing the guys come through the curtains. I've actually, okay, I wouldn't brag too much about it, but I was an extra. I have a general idea of how stuff works, but I'm not going to reveal the man behind the curtain, you know, kind of like the scene in Wizard of Oz where the Grand Wizard is revealed. But it's ridiculous, guys, to sit, you know, as fans and just completely tear apart a show during a show. And I've had this instance occur during SmackDown Live. I've had it occur during Survivor Series in Houston. I mean, I could go on and on. You know, pointing fingers is not going to help either. So if you are a wrestler, if you are a former manager like myself, one of the biggest things we can do is not give out advice, but if someone asks, how am I supposed to approach this situation? Take two steps back and two more. Meaning, don't be the asshole who reviews a show simply because you're basing it off your biases. Well, I like this guy because when he was heel, he had more depth. Well, I like this gal because she was babyface, blah, 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 blah. You guys are missing the fucking point. Some of you, not all, let me rephrase that. Some of you are missing the fucking boat, dude. When it comes to watching a wrestling show, you pay money. We all pay money for the t-shirts, the souvenir cups, whatever. Do not have the mentality that because you think you pay a wrestler's salary that you are owed a show that will cater to you. Roman Reigns, for example, if he's your favorite and you expect him to win every single championship there is under the sun, that is not up to you. You are not the booker. You are not the promoter. Same thing goes for if Daniel Bryan or Seth Rollins. Some people, you know, will say, well, we hate this guy. Why do you cheer him then? Who am I referring to? This is what confuses me about some of you. Why? Why does the sun set in, why does it rise in the east? Why does it set in the west? Why do pigs not fly? Why do fish swim? I can ask fucking basic questions all night long, but what I'm gonna say to you is, don't, and this goes for anybody in the wrestling business, don't tell fans how to fucking feel, because now it begs the question. So we're just supposed to be mindless robots that sit there and watch a show. That's what I gather from some of it. And you know what? Here's the fun part, folks. If you're a promoter and you gauge what the fans want, how are they going to react to this move? It's not about reacting to moves. It's what quality you put into the effort you put into your show. If you don't put any fucking effort into your show, then okay, you'll get booed out of the building. How do I know this? Because once upon a time, even if I am, you know, formerly of the business or from the other side of the spectrum, as I like to call it, I still will learn and keep learning said business. And it sounds like a broken fucking record every show, but I'm going to say this. Whenever a promoter tells an audience how they should feel, or a booker or a writer tells a story, the audience gauge this way, I know that it'll give it time, you know. It's like a chili that you cook all day long in the crock pot or something, and you put all the seasonings in there, and you got to have all the pieces to the puzzle, all that, all these metaphors that go along with pro wrestling. There's a lot of them. One of them, you know, is you can either have a lot of friends in this business, or you can have a lot of money. To the people who entertained us over the years, knows who said that saying, Scott Hall. He's right, because you can have your convictions about being a good guy or gal in the business. And you can think, we all can think, whoever has been a part of this business and who has loved this business since they were a fucking child, that, okay, it's okay, you know, to tweet about this and tweet about that. Shane's right, though. If you keep pointing fucking fingers, if you keep bashing on the business and you formerly a part of, who the fuck are you? What are you trying to prove? And what are you doing? Does it make any bit of damn difference about who or what you're doing? Yes, it does. How you're presenting it? Yes, it fucking does. Because let me tell you guys something. I've never been so annoyed in my life seeing the back and forth between wrestling fans and wrestlers. Here's what annoys me. When fans tell wrestlers how to feel, and when wrestlers tell fans how to feel, you guys are both in the fucking wrong. How? Fans are going to react no matter what you say or do. So really, at this point in the juncture, you're telling us, the fans, how we should feel and how we shouldn't feel. That's wrong. And fans, when you tell a wrestler what they should do in the ring, it's fun if you're just teasing or trying to correlate, you know, conversation. Even you know a wrestler is not paying attention, they're just being polite. You're in the wrong too. Because not a one of you, fan or wrestler, is right. And that's the fucking problem today. In the business, and as a fan. Fans, I mean, I'll say this on behalf of all of us. I don't speak for us. I don't want to speak for us. I just want to be a fucking fan. And as a former manager, let me tell you something. When I hear people say I want to be a heel, I'm just going to let them. Because what is it my business to tell somebody they can't do something? Then I'm just doing the most hypocritical fucking thing ever. When you are a consummate professional, you're known in this business by name. For example, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, big movie star now. Do you think he told the fans how to feel outside a gimmick and non-kayfabe? No. Do you think that he had interactions with a dumbass or two or three or four? Yes. Does that give him the right, because where he came from, how he worked to get where he get, do you think that gives The Rock precedent over a fan? Let me tell you something. Fans, we won't forget how you make us feel. Wrestlers, I don't know, and I don't speak for any other, you know, wrestlers, but I'm telling you is, it's ridiculous. It is redonkulous for any of you to sit there and think and assume and jump to conclusion as to what the fans would want to see. Oh, yeah, I know the fans will like this. You don't know that. Somebody in Memphis, Tennessee, or a crowd in Memphis, Tennessee, could adhere to liking what you did in the ring. You know, you could do several spots, you know, that grabs their attention. You can keep it fucking simple, stupid. What bugs me is people seem to debate on fucking social media as if it were a political debate. Who's going to be right? Oh, yeah, I proved a point over a wrestler. Does that make you feel any better? Unless the wrestler was treating you like an asshole, then you really don't have fucking room as a fan to sit there and be like, okay, yeah, I can debate this wrestler on fucking Twitter, and I told him the what for. Does that make you feel any bigger or badder? Unless he or she said wrestler said something derogatory towards you, what is the point? What is your mission as a fan? Are you there to criticize? Does it give you jollies to make someone miserable? To make someone feel inferior because you know what's going to make them upset? I mean, this is what really irks me as an observer of all this bullshit. Some of it's funny, you know, like when Kevin Owens basically was telling that one fan off about, you know, him saying he was being rude to Kevin on Twitter, so Kevin responded, as any wrestler should. And, you know, another example of fandom going overboard, when Randy Orton told a gentleman while he was at the gym he didn't want a picture taken of him, and, you know, this guy, I'm a former cop, blah, 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 blah. Good for you. I pay your salary is what the gentleman said. Really, asshole. If you really think that you sincerely pay a wrestler's salary, no. Let me just give you the lowdown, man. In the indies, it depends how the promoter works. One promoter was reliant upon the gate. You can't do that unless you know for sure there's going to be over 100 people or more showing up so you can divide money. I mean, even if so, if you say the words, I pay your salary, that irks me. That's like someone going up to somebody who works at Sam's Club or any retail, Target, and saying, yeah, we pay your fucking salary. True to some extent, but corporate, their funds from their revenue go directly in direct deposit. Trust me from experience, I did not work for some of those companies I just listed. But let me just tell you, personally, I feel this whole clusterfuck of wrestlers telling fans how to feel, in some regards, not all, is wrong. It's fucking wrong. And they know this. So it's like the big kid picking on the fucking small kid with one arm. Come on, man. Killing me, Smalls. All this bullshit because a fan or two says something like a smark ever fucking would, and, you know, something to, you know, sleep on. You're going to have fans that think they know everything, and they try to weasel their opinions in. And you're going to have fans that don't like a show that is going to, you know, they're going to voice their opinions about it, because thank you, the evolution of blogging turned into blog talk and, you know, whatnot, and other various sources of podcasting. But what I'm saying is I thank all the fans that criticize me. Do you know why? Because it makes me want to try this mad science experiment we call wrestling. Whether you're podcasting, announcing, sitting on your ass at home watching a fucking Monday Night Raw, New Japan, Evolve, Wrestling Revolver, CZW, it doesn't fucking matter. Wrestling is fucking universal, folks. Whether you are a casual WWE fan, whether you are a smart WWE fan, this is just the same fucking principle as politics. Well, if I was a Democrat, blah, blah, blah. If I was Republican, fucking, you know. See? We all have lines of division when it comes to opinion-based shit. You can think this way, you can feel that way. Fuck that noise. If I want to go to a show and tear it apart in my own head and not really relay it, then I'm doing company a favor. by just shutting my mouth and showing up to the show and enjoying it? What if I don't enjoy the show? What if I felt, you know, I really didn't like this match between Carmella and Asuka, or I really didn't like this match between blah, 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 blah. I have to, as a fan, you know, really consider, okay, how am I going to voice my opinion and how am I going to voice my concern? Really can't do it on social media because, to me, in my opinion, if you do it on social media, wow, what good are you doing yourself? I really hated this match. F WWE. What if WWE decided they wanted to hire you and you fucking went off on them like that? There's ways of going off without sounding like an asshole. I really didn't like the show. It just wasn't satisfactory to me. Okay, I guess we can say that. But when you start restricting fans, as a, you know, former worker, regardless of whether my stint was brief or not in the managerial position, I feel like people forget what wrestling really is about. And that can be interpreted in so many fucking different languages, in so many different ways of appreciation from country to country. Wrestling is universal. That's what I'm trying to get at, folks, tonight on Off the Rails and Censored. It bothers me that people are becoming elitist. I don't care. You know, there's ways, well, I like this, bed, blah, 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 under the sun, blah. Okay, whatever makes you happy. But don't, you know, don't douse, bash in a way that's so tasteless and so fucking tacky. It makes you look like a moron. You keep pointing fingers. So bashing a company, that can be interpreted too. If I dislike something that Danny Cage did at Monster Factory, am I going to sit there and, well, Danny Cage this and Danny Cage that? No, because it'll make me look like a complete douche nozzle if I start bashing him without being a man about it and saying, you know, dude, I really didn't, you know, I didn't like the way the show was done tonight, blah, blah, blah. He's not going to care because he can, you know, there's a bunch of other people that liked it. Much like I sometimes will go off about Monday Night Raw, but this is just, I'm just one opinion of many. What I like, what Brutal Bob, what Danny Cage, what Samoa Joe, what different people liked as a child, is that really going to matter when it comes to telling fans how to be and fans vice versa tell wrestlers how to be? You should just do this because you're a great heel, blah, 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 blah. I think that part of the problem that we face as wrestling fans is we think we have assimilated ourselves into the business because we learn terminologies. As workers, there's a lot of problems that can be pointed out, but are you really, if you really honestly think that they're going to, oh my God, this fan thinks this of me, whatever shall I do? You're in for a rude awakening. Just to be quite honest with you, why should a wrestler care if they're making sufficient income? And not just income. If they know they have a consistent booking, what should they be worried about? Oh my God. Fan A said this about me. Fan B said that about me. My world is going to crumble to a fucking end. It's bad when I can psycho-fucking-analyze this shit without even blinking an eye. And that is, wrestlers, managers, referees have some, you know, See, it's not that hard to start doing it. Just my one request is consider this. Fans can just stop going to the show, but they have to be the, you know, smart enough ones not to show up and then start criticizing the shit. Here's the thing, though. Here's the underlying factor about that. They won't quit coming to the show, but yet they'll keep fucking criticizing about shit. When fans keep saying, you know, why do you keep pushing Roman Reigns and the empathy factor, yada, 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 if you were to quit fucking pretending to be bookers and do it, by all means. Do it with, I don't know, some ball sacks. I don't care if you're male or female, but if you sit there and critique my show, fine, I don't give a fuck because it just gives me new insight, what I can fix and what I don't give a fuck about. If you don't like my reel, there's the fucking door. I don't have any filters, folks. This show has no fucking filters. Reading some of your questions right now, this is kind of I'm just, you know, trying to say, fans, here's the thing, just keep going to shows, enjoy what you enjoy, love what you love, cheer for whom you cheer for, don't follow the fucking herd, be very mindful of what you say and how you fucking word it, because wrestlers, you think they don't listen. You think that they don't care about anything but a paycheck. That's some of them. But some of them actually do care about the fans, and trust me, I know one of them. Some of them actually give a damn. And they, one of them says to me, I think like a fan because I still am a fan. And you know what? That means a great deal to me because I'll never, ever forget. Point is, do not ever assume you know what is best for business or best for the sport of professional wrestling. This is something that it takes a lot of sacrifice and a lot of, you know, time away from family. Fans, I don't care if you travel, if we travel, it does not compare to what wrestlers have to endure. They go through hotels and hotels. They feel like they're living out of a fucking suitcase. So in other words, they're living the Michael Jackson lifestyle, okay? Or the concert lifestyle. Folks, I'm going to go eat something. Just, you know, trying to find a peace of mind. And it's really sad that, you know, we're dividing ourselves. But thank you, SmackDown Live, for an awesome show. Toodles, bitches, I gotta eat. Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cost of personality.
A cult of personality, a cult of personality.